You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Greeny with Mike Greenberg, the podcast.
Back and better than ever, Greeny presented by Progressive Insurance. Jam-packed we are on a Friday. Football is not by any means behind us. There's plenty of that to get to this morning. We got the Graziano and Tannenbaum are good enough to stick around. So the law firm of Greenberg and Tannenbaum remains wide open for business. Let's do this thing.
Here we go!
Only one place to start.
Our one place to start wasn't on my screen, so that's a good job by someone picking it up and me doing a Hall of Fame job of vamping while we figured that out. All right, Graziano's here, Tannenbaum is here. Combine is next week, and that's when we get down to business, right? That is when everything tends to happen, including some of the big wheeling and dealing. And you guys were telling me this morning, and Graz, I'll start with you, that the names that everyone will have on the front of the tips of their respective tongues will be Justin Fields and Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the Vikings are trying to figure out now before they get there what's going to happen with Cousins. Can they get him re-signed? What would that deal look like? And if they feel like they can't, I think they'd become a very interesting team because I think they'd be a candidate to move up into that top three and draft a quarterback. I know, you know, the GM and the head coach got there a couple of years ago. They kind of inherited Cousins. He's played well for them, and I do think at some level they'd like to have him back. But they also are cognizant of the idea that at some point they're going to need to find the long-term solution there. And if they can't get a deal done with Cousins, I think they become one of the players for those top three picks.
How do you view that? If you're a team that is thinking big thoughts, like Pittsburgh right now, Mike, and Kirk Cousins is an option and Justin Fields is an option, which way are you going?
Well, if I'm Mike Tomlin, I'm looking at the longer-term sort of view of things. And as you said multiple times on the air, Greeny, Justin Fields is younger than Kenny Pickett. And you could get him for 2 years, roughly $28 million. And I go back and I look at Arthur Smith with Ryan Tannehill. And for those 2 years in Tennessee, Ryan Tannehill was outstanding. And I think when you look at Justin Fields next to Ryan Tannehill, they're very similar guys. Big, strong, athletic guys. And I think with all those weapons that Pittsburgh has, I think that's a really interesting option. If I'm Mike Tomlin, championship defense, a young, athletic, ascending quarterback with those weapons, that's where I'm going.
You know, Graz, to what degree, because you sort of wear a lot of hats for us here. And first and foremost, you know, when I'm not here, you do an outstanding job hosting the show.
Thank you.
But then when you're here with me, you know, you're an insider and an opinionist, right?
Yeah.
So you're sort of part of the, but then you go to some place like that and you are a reporter extraordinaire.
Yeah.
The things
I'm
that
awesome.
We all assume, right? So
yeah.
So we are, I'm sitting here assuming, well, Pittsburgh or Atlanta, that deal with Justin Fields gets done, no question about it.
Right.
By next Thursday, that doesn't always happen. Like,
no.
What is going on there that I'm missing? What kinds of things might still be happening with him?
With whom?
With Fields.
With Fields. Yeah, I mean, look, it's trade talks. It's who's interested and what's the price. And if you go back a year ago, Ryan Poles, the Bears GM, had the number one pick, and the decision was, do we stick with Fields, do we trade the pick? And I think by the time he got to Indy, he had a sense of, like, we're going to stick with Fields, and we're going to, because I know what the market is for this pick, and it's going to be worth it. And then I think I think when they went to the combine last year, the team that had been very aggressive with them was the Raiders, who had a better pick than the Panthers did. But as the week went on and as the conversations continued, and all of a sudden the Bears find out they can get DJ Moore from the Panthers, and the Raiders really didn't have that kind of piece to put into the deal, then all of a sudden the Bears start to think, they have their meetings. Well, are we okay moving back at that far to number 9 with Carolina if this is what it means? And ultimately they decided yes. So the things become a lot more realistic when people can have these face-to-face meetings. It feels old-fashioned, but it's still true. And I think being in the same room with people it definitely helps deals get done and certainly helps inform what the deals ultimately will be.
Take us inside the room where it happens, to use a Hamilton term. Mike T, because you've been doing it. You've done it. You're a general manager in two different places. Like, what's going on in these rooms that the reporters aren't allowed into?
Yeah, no, Graz nailed it. I always loved Indy because it really got all the gray out, and I felt like all I had to do was call Steve Ross or Woody Johnson and say, hey, like, we're all here. We feel like here's our plan. And I think the reason Justin Fields is being traded is last year, like, the inverse was true. They were speaking very highly about him very publicly, and they did a great job with that trade. And the fact that they have not come out and said, hey, we're running it back with Ryan Poles, Matt Eberflus, and Justin Fields tells us everything we need to know.
Yeah.
And the fact that they haven't said that means they're trading him. So they're going to get to Indy. They're going to get in a room with two teams, the Atlanta Falcons and the Pittsburgh Steelers, and they're going to say, hey, by the time the league year starts, March 12th, we're making a trade. What's your best offer? And there'll be no BS. And my sense is within the next 7 to 10 days, we'll know one of those two teams will be traded. And what I would say, just to get the gray out, is just give me your best offer and I'll let you know if it's a yes or a no.
The one thing that gives me pause there, though, Mike, and is like, if Minnesota said in that meeting says to Ryan Poles, like, we're still, first of all, I don't know that they're going to do an in-division trade, but if hypothetically that's the case, like if Minnesota says to Ryan Poles, like, we're trying to get Cousins, but if we don't get him back, then we want in on this. Like, does that delay the ultimate culmination of this whole thing?
Yeah, like, from my purview, no. I would always take a bird in the hand versus two in the bush. And if you look at the way Chicago operated last year, that's exactly what they did.
Yeah.
They took a really strong deal, including DJ Moore, at Indy. So to me, like, if you look at their sort of, like, front office DNA, if there is such a thing, I would think, like, if they find a deal, they're going to take it. And I think there's another part, just to give you, like, a sense of what your thought process is, which is, you have a responsibility to do what's best for the Bears, but there is a part of it, 15-20%, that you want to look Justin Fields in the eye and say, hey, we want to do right by you as well, and we want you to get to Team X as soon as possible so you could have the career that you hope and dream of. We're going to get value, and I don't think the extra 2% is worth waiting.
And that's an important point, because like, teams with new head coaches can open their offseason programs on April 1st. Like, 4 weeks before the draft. If you're the Atlanta Falcons, you have the opportunity to get Justin Fields in your building that soon. Obviously, you want to get this hammered out long before the draft actually occurs.
So let me ask this, because all of this presupposes that Caleb Williams is a slam dunk, first pick in the draft, no debate about it, no discussion. He has gone number one in every mock draft that I have seen. Because I host the draft, I look at every one of them. I read what everyone is saying. I listen to every podcast that I can find. There's a lot of debate over who's number two and who's number three. In your view, what is the order of the best quarterbacks in this draft, and what is the space between them?
Yeah, I'd say Caleb Williams is first, for me, more narrowly over Drake May, and here's why. Lincoln Riley is a really good coach. He's been sacked 83 times and 32 fumbles, and Lincoln Riley is drilling fundamentals day after day after day at Oklahoma, at USC. Look, they all have things to work on. That's why you have coaches. So I really like Caleb Williams, but he is not beyond reproach. Drake May, to me, is really fascinating. You know, you hear comps like Josh Allen, Justin Herbert, but Greeny, he is big, he's strong, he's physical. And to me, he's clearly going to be drafted, in my opinion, before Jaden Daniels, because a little bit when we talked about Tua and Justin Herbert 3 years ago, 66 quarterbacks started this year. And when you look at the rigors of an NFL season, clearly the way Drake May is built and looking like Josh Allen has a better chance than Jaden Daniels. Now, Jaden Daniels may go his whole career and never miss a game, but if the three of us were running a team, the more likely scenario is May over Daniels.
That's fair. Although, I mean, Tua did go ahead of Herbert, whether that was the right wrong decision at this point. And this past year, Herbert got hurt and Tua did not, but that hasn't been the history for them. And then, so then Henry goes from there. So, but the reason where I tried to begin this conversation is, like, Mike T, you're talking about Pittsburgh and Atlanta. Like, these conversations are already taking place, right? And people are already talking about this stuff.
You have to agree, because you have to juxtapose what is Kirk Cousins' price going to be versus what we have to trade for Justin Fields. Like, what are our options? Does J.J. McCarthy become new? I think this draft is so fascinating, because I think 8, Atlanta, 6, and the Giants are kind of, you kind of bootstrapped out to number 3. But then, like, this next group, Green, and you'll be talking about this for months, is you have, like, stacked up Minnesota, Raiders, and Denver, and those three teams all may need a quarterback, and now you're going to be in the J.J. McCarthy, Bo Nix, you know, Michael Penix world. So I think you have, like, two clumps of like really interesting quarterback debate.
Most of the mocks that I see have five quarterbacks going in round one, and every now and again you'll see Penix sneak into the back of one as well, so maybe as many as six. Greeny, Graz, and Tannenbaum are here. The other piece of this then becomes, Graz, becomes the Kirk Cousins of it all.
Yeah.
Like, is Kirk Cousins viewed as someone in your mind who is going to be the difference maker on a championship team? I mean, there are championship teams out there that need, or there are good teams out there that need quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Do we look at Kirk Cousins as someone we say, well, get that guy, and now here we go?
Well, it's a very different evaluation of a 36-year-old Kirk Cousins, especially one coming off an Achilles injury. We don't really know how ready he'll be and when, versus, you know, a Caleb Williams, who for whom you can imagine the world, right? Like Kirk Cousins, we've watched almost his whole career, and he hasn't come close to a Super Bowl, right? So is he the difference maker for a contending team? Well, so far he hasn't been. And it's probably easier to imagine Drake May or Jaden Daniels or Caleb Williams becoming that than it. Now, that said, if what you want is reliability at the position, which a lot of teams do, if you feel like you have a team that doesn't want to spend the time developing it, you're close enough, you don't want to spend the time developing the kid, you'd rather have the established veteran who you know can play, then he makes a lot of sense. So that's why I'm fascinated to see, for example, Pittsburgh. Like if Cousins does hit the market, is he more appealing to a team that just went 10-7 and might be a quarterback away than, say, a Justin Fields who might need some more development? I'm interested to see where they land on that question, if in fact it's a question that comes to them.
The only thing I'll say is that we are assigning to Kirk Cousins a quality that he has never actually demonstrated, which is an ability to take a team deep into
the
playoffs.
That's what I'm saying.
He's won one playoff game in his entire life, and now we're looking at and saying, oh, we get Kirk Cousins and we're on our way. Reminds me of Derek Carr last year. Derek Carr is a good player, and he's better than what many teams have. Kirk Cousins is certainly way better than what they had in Atlanta last year. But I don't think you look at him and you say, okay, well, now we got Kirk Cousins. Who can possibly beat us?
Greeny, I think that's a totally fair point. Just to give you context to take you inside the room, which is like, but boy, if we have Desmond Ridder or Kenny Pickett, he looks a lot better.
Right.
And sometimes, like, and that was what was so frustrating about competing against Tom Brady year after year. Like, we know we're not going to have Tom Brady. So how good can we be in the other phases of the game to compete in a meaningful way? And that's where, like, if you're Atlanta and Pittsburgh, you're saying, to your point, Greeny, I promise you, the owner is going to say, we're going to pay this guy how much? How many playoff games has he won? And the answer is going to be, yeah, but. And yeah. The but is the alternatives.
But that's the thing. Like, if you're Denver or Vegas, right, and in your division is Mahomes, like, maybe you're not thinking about Cousins, because that does. You have to be thinking way beyond that. You have to be thinking about the upside of one of these kids if maybe you trade up into that top three.
Cross, and that's exactly why we traded for Brett Favre. We felt like we had Chad Pennington, who was the good, but there was no way he was going to be Tom Brady. I can empathize with the Raiders and the rest of the AFC West.
And then the last one that comes to mind here is Russell Wilson. I've had a lot of people suggesting to me that Russell Wilson, who 2 years ago was the centerpiece of what might have been the biggest trade in NFL history in terms of what he got paid plus the compensation that went. And here we are 2 years later, and I've got people suggesting to me he may not play again. He may not have a place next year.
Yeah, I still think it's more likely that he plays than not, just because of the need around the league at the quarterback position. But I do think there's a non-zero chance that he doesn't, because he doesn't need to. Like, he's going to make $39 million from the Broncos no matter what. And if the only situations that are available to him are ones he doesn't like, then he doesn't need to take that job. He could wait. He could wait to see somebody on a contending team gets hurt in October and all of a sudden they're desperate enough. Like, those options are on the table for him at this point in his career. I don't know him. I'm not in his mind. I don't know what he's after, what he's trying to prove, what he's trying to accomplish at this point in his career. But objectively looking at it, it's not a guy that really, that needs the work, right?
I actually think there's a non-obvious solution or ending to this. And I think Kyle Shanahan was sort of like insightful when he was candid a couple of weeks ago heading into the Super Bowl, which was, yeah, I did talk to Tom Brady because I was kept me up at night knowing that my starting pitcher on opening day was coming off of elbow surgery.
Right.
Like, so Brock Purdy may not be ready. And I'm just telling you, like, it may be Sean McVay. It may be, you know, Kyle Shanahan that flies to Russell and say, hey, whatever happened the last couple of years, let's flush it. Come to us for a year, learn a new system, be in the best shape of your life, get healthy, and you know what? A year from now, you may retire or may not. And I'm just saying, like, every team's going to sit there and say, it's Russell Wilson for $1 million. Are we sure we don't want him? And I think someone's going to recruit him.
Maybe. But he brings with him some other stuff that is well documented that a lot of people may not like. And he is also such a star that if you're an established NFL starting quarterback, I mean, do you want Russell Wilson as your backup? That's a weird dynamic.
Yeah. And look, I mean, Seattle made the decision 2 years ago that, like, this guy's going to want another contract. We don't think he's going to be the kind of player that justifies another mega money extension. So they decided to trade him, and now they look very good. And when you talk to people in Seattle, they will tell you that a lot of the issues that have come up in the 2 years since are stuff that they foresaw or that they saw and managed to overcome to some degree while he was there.
Yeah, I think it's possible we've seen the end. Very quick.
Yeah, I would just say, like, I was there trying to sign Jay Cutler of the Fox broadcast booth. So the other thing is, like, hey, I'm going to hang out. Someone's going to need me. We saw Carson Wentz sign in the middle of the year. At some point.
Flacco.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Like, so there's that sort of, like, play to
he
run.
He could
as well.
Become the comeback player of the year, as Joe Flacco did.
Only got to play five games.
Guys, you're the best. Have a great weekend. Thank you both for this. Enjoy Indy. Mike T, we'll talk to you. And meantime, as we continue next, what I would describe as a genuine sports tragedy is playing out right before our eyes. And I will tell you what it is right after this on ESPN Radio. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Greeny, the podcast. Greeny with Mike Greenberg.
Those teams brought incalculable joy to millions of people. They created memories that people will never forget, that I will take with me to my grave having watched. And the fact that one of the central pieces feels so much bitterness toward it, from a purely sports standpoint, it's tragic.
This is Greeny.
And now it's gotten even worse. And that is the right way to open up this conversation. In 30 seconds, you will hear how this sports tragedy has taken a step from which it will never recover. I just can't fathom how ugly this is about to get, and we'll try and figure out where it's headed. We'll do that after this reminder that ESPN Bet is now live as the official sportsbook of ESPN. ESPN Bet is the only place to find daily exclusives and offers with your favorite ESPN personalities and shows. Sign up today. New users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Find all your favorite markets and bets like in-game wagering, cross-sport parlays, teasers, and all the props you can handle. That's ESPN Bet. Download today. What a play. Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. I mean, this still gives me a feeling down deep inside of myself that I will take to my grave I had the extraordinary good fortune of being around one of the greatest sports teams of all time and one of the most legendary collections of athletic greatness of all time. The Chicago Bulls of the 1990s, who won 6 out of 8 championships, and Michael Jordan, of course, in the center of it all, and all of the attention that they got and all of the drama. And so much of it was documented at times in a one-sided manner in The Last Dance, which, as frequently happens with Michael, came along at the perfect moment. If you'll recall, Last Dance was supposed to debut on ESPN sometime later in 2020. And then the pandemic happened, and there were no sports, and there was nothing to show. And ESPN was able to work quickly with the director, who's a genius named Jason Hare, to get it together more quickly. And so The Last Dance wound up airing on ESPN at a time when the country was pretty much at a standstill and there was nothing to do but sit and watch. And so The Last Dance, which always was going to get a lot of attention, was going to be a very big deal, became the biggest thing in America. It became the Super Bowl of the moment. And it was magnificent. It was epic. It was excellent. It was a fascinating retelling of an incredible time in American history and sports history, for sure. And again, I had a front row seat for a lot of it, so it's always been meaningful to me. And I did make the observation, I recall at the time, if I was Scottie Pippen, I would not have been happy with the way I was portrayed in that. It was the telling of the story of the team, but it was the telling of the story of Michael Jordan in the center of it, and deservedly so. That was always going to be about Jordan. If you're going to tell a story of that group, it was always going to start with Michael Jordan, because A, he's the most famous person in the world, and B, he was inarguably the most important reason why they became what they became. But significant roles were played by, among others, Scottie Pippen, Phil Jackson, Jerry Krause, and on a different level, Luke Longley. And in case you haven't heard, Horace Grant, Scottie Pippen, and Luke Longley have put together a tour that they are calling the No Bull Tour, where they are going to travel around and they are going to tell their version of the events. And as you hear in this little clip I have from Horace Grant, this is not going to be a fun time, or she's certainly not telling any fun, cute story.
Well, as you know me, I speak my mind.
Yes, you do.
And it's going to be a no tour. Believe me, I tell you this, the X Factor in the first three and the second three, I would have kicked Dennis Rodman.
I'd like to have seen that.
Yeah. Come out and get the tickets, and you hear a lot.
All right, so it starts tonight in Tasmania, Australia. There's another show in Melbourne. There's another show in Sydney. And you may be saying, why Australia? Well, that is where Luke Longley is from. Now, Horace Grant is talking about how he was better than Dennis Rodman, and I have said forever I thought the first three-peat team was better than the second three-peat team, mostly because Michael was better. The second three-peat, Michael Jordan was the best player in the NBA. The first three-peat, Michael Jordan was the best player that ever lived. He was absolutely at the pinnacle, the peak of his prime. And Horace Grant was a terrific player. He may not have been as good as Dennis Rodman, but I think those teams were better. At any rate, the point is, what you're going to hear is you're going to hear Scottie's telling of the events. You're going to hear Horace's telling of the events. You're going to hear Luke Longley's telling of the events. I don't know exactly what bone to pick Luke Longley has in all of this. He always struck me as a pretty good-natured Aussie who was happy to have found himself in the midst of this extraordinary story. I've not known Steve Kerr to have a big bone to pick. I mean, it's well documented that he and Michael had that issue, whatever it was. I mean, Phil Jackson continues to love Michael to this day. Scottie and Michael have their issues, and they've been well documented. Scottie Pippen has gone over and over and over it, how he feels wronged. We all understand there was a relationship there for a period of time between Michael's son and Scottie's ex-wife, which creates just a ridiculous dynamic. I can't quite fathom where that would be. The only thing I'll say, because I'm sort of tap dancing around saying it, is that the fracture of that group is a tragedy. It's really a tragedy. It reminds me of, if you watch there are these, there used to be on VH1, there used to be these series called Behind the Music, where they would always get together like famous rock bands. And when they broke up, and now they're all suing each other and all hate each other, and they all talk about how much they hate each other. That's what this has become. And this was a team that, as I said in that open, Hembo, they brought so much joy. I was there. I saw it. I mean, the city of Chicago was, you've never seen a place so happy. That is a major American city where there was this every night that they played, it was like the Beatles were in town. Every night that they played, it was like the Beatles were on Ed Sullivan that night. I've never seen anything like it, and I don't expect to ever see anything like it again. And the fact that it has broken into this, it makes me genuinely sad for all the people involved.
I've been dying to ask your opinion on this, considering your proximity to those teams. I have many questions. The first of which I want to ask is this. Do you think that the Last Dance is the primary reason that this happened? Which is to say, these relationships have probably been fractured or were fracturing over a long period of time. Do you think that the documentary and the way that it was told was sort of the last straw for some of these characters?
Yeah, I didn't help. Let's put it that way. And I think the person who I think was upset with the Last Dance was Scottie Pippen. Because, look, everything that was presented, everything that was represented in Last Dance was accurate. Scottie Pippen did hold out through a lot of that season, even though he probably was healthy enough to play, because he was upset about a contract that he himself did choose to sign, even though the owner told him he was not getting a good deal. He remained mad about it, remained mad at Krause about it, and there was plenty of coverage of the incident where he refuses to go back in the game against the Knicks. It happened. I've said forever, Tony Kukoc saved Scottie Pippen's career by making that shot that won that game at the end there. So Scottie was accurately portrayed. I don't know that he got enough glory. Like, I think Scottie Pippen was also an integral part of what they accomplished. And I don't know if he felt he got enough of that in there. Look, no one is going to be totally happy with the way a story gets told 25 years after it finishes. But I think that the genesis of this, at the end of the day, there's a lot of envy. So when they would travel, when they would have like back-to-backs and all that kind of stuff, Phil would give Michael and Scottie the day off of practice, or he would let them go easy in practice. And Horace always said, why is it the two of them, not the three of us? They're not two stars and the rest of us. We're three stars and the rest of us. So there were always hard feelings involving Horace, who left as a free agent when he got the opportunity to in Orlando. And when the Magic beat the Bulls, they picked him up on their shoulders and they carried him off the floor in Chicago. So he clearly had bad feelings even as far back as that. Scottie Pippen was destined to forever be the second guy, right? He's the second banana. He's the guy, like Michael's in the motorcycle and he's in the sidecar. And that has to come with a lot of psychological stuff. I don't know exactly what, because Pippen was good enough to have been the best player on a lot of really good teams. But the history of it is what the history of it is. Now, again, the relationship between Michael's son and Scottie's ex-wife cannot have helped matters. It's almost impossible for me to fathom what that would be like. In case you're trying to figure out just what are the dynamics involved here, I mean, that would be like my relationship splitting up and you getting involved with my wife, right? I mean, there's just obviously that's just not going to be okay. So, like, that's what happened here. What am I talking about? You're not my son.
It would be like your son being with my wife.
Oh, good point. I got it backwards. You're exactly right. That would be like if you and Lizzie broke up and suddenly Lizzie was with Stevie.
That would be an upgrade for her.
It would be a colossal upgrade
for her. Nice going, Stevie.
In fact, right now, sitting in her house listening to this conversation, she's saying, is that an option? is that on the list of things that could happen? Yeah, you're right. Here I am trying to explain it. I got the relationships wrong. That would be like you splitting up with Lizzie and her winding up in a relationship with Steve.
Yes, and then you have two adopted grandkids.
I mean, everything about that's exactly right.
One named after you.
And then Michelle and the other one would be in my family. And with the point I'm making here, not to make light of something that's obviously super uncomfortable, is that I know for a fact that Michael feels that he always gave Scottie all the credit that he was due. I have personally heard Michael say, publicly and privately, We could never have done all that without Scotty. Scotty is a first ballot Hall of Fame, all-time great, top 50 player, all that stuff. I think Scotty Pippen does get the credit that he deserves. What he deserves to be remembered as is the second best player on one of the greatest teams of all time. Just like Kevin McHale deserves to be remembered that way. They're not all Shaq and Kobe or Kareem and Magic, where you could kind of debate, well, was it Magic? Was it Kareem? Was it Shaq? Was it Kobe? There's no debating this, right? The Celtics, the great Celtic teams were Larry Bird's teams, and McHale was there too. Not was there too. He was an integral part. You could never have won without him, but they were clearly his teams. The Celtic dynasty were clearly Russell's teams. The Bulls dynasty were clearly Michael's teams. There was no debating that, and I don't think Scottie Pippen doesn't know that. Or in an honest moment, I don't think he shouldn't know that. So, again, whatever it is that bothers him, whatever it is that has gone sideways, and I speak on behalf of everyone who is around that group, and I don't even mean you have to have been covering them, anyone who lived in Chicago in the 90s, I've never witnessed anything like it. It was a never-ending party. It was the greatest thing I've ever seen. It was as much fun as I could ever imagine anything possibly being. It's like what it must be like to be in Kansas City now with the Chiefs. I mean, obviously, we had the tragedy last week. I don't mean to conflate that. But when you've just got the best team year after year after year and the best player in your every game is an event. Everything is so much fun. You win all these championships. Like, I've never lived it anywhere else. And the fact that it is disintegrated into this, it makes me really sad.
You know, the power of The Last Dance really came into the clear picture for me last month when at the Bulls Ring of Honor ceremony, in which they were honoring Jerry Krause, his wife Thelma was booed.
It's a disgrace.
And she was moved to tears. You never really had the opportunity, based on the timing of when that happened, like to fully elaborate or share your thoughts on that. I'm dying to hear.
The people who booed Thelma Krause are two things. They are classless and they are clueless. They are both of those things. They are obviously classless because you do not boo a dead man's wife unless that man was a murderer, right? If you want to boo the wife of a mass killer, if the worst thing you can say about Jerry Krause was that he was a bit disagreeable and you don't think he did as good a job as other people think he did, the idea that would then justify you booing his wife is embarrassing. Where you have no sense of decency. Where has our decency gone in our culture? So you were classless at minimum, and that was a disgrace. You're also clueless. Jerry Krause built those teams. He built you six championships. He put every piece in place besides Michael. He handpicked Phil Jackson from the Albany Patroons of the CBA and turned him into what he became, which is the winningest, most successful coach in the history of the sport. No one was looking at him that way. He got you Scottie Pippen. He got you Horace Grant. He got you Dennis Rodman. He put constantly shuffling the pieces at the back of the bench, Trent Tucker, Craig Hodges, Bobby Hansen, all of whom played integral roles in each of their individual championships, not to mention Steve Kerr and some of the other guys like that. So if you booed Jerry Krause's wife, then you are overwhelmingly classless and you are also clueless. You don't have the first freaking idea what you're talking about, and I had to clean that up. That's how angry it made me. So there's that part of it for sure. And part of that came from Last Dance. And look, Michael didn't like him, and that's just the way it was. Lots of people didn't like Jerry. He didn't go out of his way to be liked. He was a cantankerous, at times difficult person. He also did his job brilliantly, and he never murdered anyone. So the idea that you're going to boo him after his passing and you're going to boo his family to humiliate and sadden them just makes you an absolute lowlife cretin. I don't know any other way to put it.
That's well said. I feel similarly, and of all of my objections to The Last Dance, that's number one for me. The characterization of Jerry Krause, who not only went into the Hall of Fame posthumously, which is a joke, but that scene with his wife on the floor last month made me sick.
Yeah, so brutal. Anyway, this is Greeny. We're brought to you by ESPN Bet, the official sports book of ESPN. ESPN Bet, what a play. We have a lot going today. We got some trivia. Let's do it. This is our group trivia.
It is. I'm looking at a list of most career triple-doubles in the history of the NBA. There are six players that have at least 100 career triple-doubles. There are six, and you are going to give me all six.
Six players, 100 career triple-doubles. Let's do this next, ESPN Radio.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Greeny, the podcast.
Genuinely great question. Greeny with you here on ESPN Radio. The free AutoZone Fix Finder service can help troubleshoot the likely cause of your pesky check engine light for free and help you save time and money down the road. Restrictions apply. Get in the zone with AutoZone.
Wow, okay, and how are your trivia skills?
This is Sneaky Himbo Trivia.
Regular sneaky or extra sneaky?
Group trivia, go.
I am looking at a list of most career triple-doubles in the history of the NBA. There are six players that have at least 100 of those, and you are going to give me all six players.
All right, so hashtag Nick, who earned that yesterday but could lose it just as fast, and hashtag Cam and myself have been kicking these around with a little help from Brandon and Pineapple Jack. So we've got four names written down here that we feel very good about, and then we have one, two, three, four, five other names written down for two spots. Cam, that's where we sit as of now.
Yeah, and we have two absolute stone-cold locks, obviously, at the top.
All right, so I should start with the locks?
Yeah.
All right, so stone-cold lead pipe lock, Russell Westbrook.
That's correct. Okay. He's first with 198.
Feels like stone-cold lead pipe lock, Oscar Roberts.
That's correct. He's second with 181.
All right, so those two had to be. They both averaged triple-doubles for a season. The other names, guys, we feel very good about LeBron, right? I mean, LeBron, all these seasons.
I like it.
LeBron James has to be on the list.
That's right.
Okay.
He is fifth with 110 for his career.
The fourth one that we have written down on the list of it's got to be is Jason Kidd. So Kidd certainly will have had the points and the assists. Will he have had it? I feel like he had a lot of triple-doubles. It has to be, right? Doesn't it?
I like Jason Kidd.
Nick, you feel good about it?
Yeah, I'm with it.
Okay, we're going to go Jason Kidd.
That's right.
Woo!
He is sixth with 107 triple-doubles, so you are missing numbers three and four.
Okay, so there's two left. So here are the names we have written down for those two spots. Wilt Chamberlain, Michael Jordan, Magic Johnson, Luka Doncic, and Nikola Jokic.
Yeah. It's so tough with these new guys because I feel like they get it more and more. And I feel like I've seen so many stats about Jokic and Doncic about how they're already getting in the ranks with these triple-double leaders. I don't know if it's like I'm seeing stats like they're the first to do this at their age, but Jokic has been in the league now like a decade or so, I feel like. So I like Jokic a lot. It's tough with the new guys.
Doncic is almost averaging a triple-double this year.
Yeah.
He's averaging 34 points, I want to say 9 rebounds and 9.5 assists or vice versa.
And he's been doing something close to that for a while.
He just hasn't been in the league that long.
No, he's been in the league for like 6 years. But Jokic has been also averaging triple-doubles for a few years now.
Yeah, but so would Will Chamberlain not have done it? There was a season in which Will Chamberlain led the league in assists.
Yeah, you would know better than I would.
Well, he did. I mean, he had one season in which he did that, and he most certainly had. I mean, he probably had that many points and rebounds in literally every game of his career.
It's hard to take off Magic, though, too.
Correct. Magic got a lot of rebounds, and the Magic. I'm taking off Michael.
I don't think it's Michael. Yeah.
I don't think it's Michael. I think it's Wilt, Magic, Luka, and Jokic.
I would say Magic and one of the new guys.
I'd take Jokic over Luka.
Magic and Jokic?
Yeah, I think that'd probably be my... Jokic, like last night, it's 15... It's not crazy numbers, but he does all three very well.
Okay. We're going to go with Nikola Jokic.
That's right.
Oh, yes! Okay, one more.
Jokic has 121. He is fourth on the all-time list, so you are just missing number three.
Oh, is it a new guy? Is it Luka or is it
Magic? I can't imagine it's not Magic.
So here's the point. If he's number three, like Hambo telling us that is significant because Doncic has only been playing that long. He would have moved past Kidd. He would have moved past LeBron. He would have moved past Jokic. Like that seems unlikely. It feels like someone who would have played a full career. So
Magic does have a kind of a shorter career, though.
Yeah, his career was shortened.
Yeah.
Wilt Chamberlain, I mean, when in doubt, when it comes to numbers, Wilt Chamberlain is usually the answer.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be Chamberlain or Magic.
I'd say Magic, but we don't have a bad guess on the board.
I'd take Magic over Wilt.
Okay, everyone in this room is saying Magic. So that I'm not the one who gets this wrong for us, I will go with it. We're going to go with Magic Johnson.
And the correct answer is Magic Johnson.
Yeah!
Two in a row.
Oh, that is so good.
We got all six.
That is so good. We got all six.
From all different eras.
What a win. So the correct answers are Westbrook, Robertson, LeBron, Kidd, Jokic, and Magic Johnson.
Holy crap, we're good at this.
That should count as like six wins.
Oh, I don't think we're ever getting Bubba back.
That is incredible.
Let's keep Nick. He's good with these group ones.
Hashtag Nick.
Nick's record is 4-1 over the last 3 days.
You have now vaulted ahead of Bubba. Candidly, you vaulted ahead of Pineapple Jack. I'm not sure you haven't vaulted ahead of Hembo. I mean, you're now an integral player.
Let me hear the rest of the list. How close are others? So Wilt is seventh with 78.
Okay.
James Harden is 8th with 75.
We never even mentioned him.
Luka's 9th with 66. And Larry Bird is 10th with 59.
Oh, that's incredible.
I'm glad no one said Bird because I think I would have thought it was him. Woo! Teams just scored fewer points. That is just so good. That is such a...
Wow!
What a delightful win that is on our part. I'm so happy that we did. You want to give us some scores over there, young Cam?
Yeah, so Bubba's missed out on a bunch of these, so he's got fewer...
I think Bubba gets losses for all the ones
here. All right, well, but right now Bubba's 13-21. I'm 15-25. You are 14-25. Jack's 8-13. Brandon's 8-22, so Brandon's climbing a little bit after a rough start. Nick's 4-1 after the last couple of days.
4-1.
And Dominique is 0-1.
So that's outstanding work, and we'll have another trivia question. Just to finish it up here with a few minutes left in this hour, and then we have a million other things planned for today. But just to circle it back quickly to the fracturing of the relationship of the Bulls. I'm trying to think, like rock and roll bands tend to end with extraordinary acrimony, right? That happens a lot. Even the Beatles, there was an acrimonious period of time, well-documented, before they kind of patched things up to at least some degree. Lots and lots of rock and roll bands. I mean, if you've ever seen like Behind the Music for Styx or one of these other bands, there's always like, they're always suing each other and all that kind of stuff. The other teams that have been this level of successful, like I don't feel like you get this. Right, I'm thinking like Magic and Kareem and Pat Riley and James Worthy. Like I feel like those guys all come together to celebrate occasions. The 72 Dolphins always got together and drank champagne, you know, on that whole thing. Russell and Cousy and all those guys, I think, continued to love each other forever. Who else are we talking about?
The Spurs
about?
Seem to get along just fine.
Spurs,
right?
Absolutely. The Spurs, you know, does it have to do with the personality of the guy in the middle of it? I mean, the Spurs were led by Tim Duncan, maybe the most laid-back superstar of all time. Football is just generally a different sport than basketball. I don't know that we would consider either Kareem or Magic to be laid back. I can't think of another dynasty where the central people of it, and certainly Michael, Scottie, and Horace, in my view, are three of the top six most important people.
I just thought of one.
Yeah?
The Fab Five. Do you think the Fab Five are a good comp?
They had a very unique falling out, right? I mean,
right.
They had the controversy that got them, what's the word, banned, barred, discounted, whatever the word is.
Vacated.
Vacated, thank you. And that I think, is what created a lot of the issues. But yes, that's a good one. They're one of the most legendary teams of all time, and it's well documented. We're not talking out of school. Obviously, we are very close friends with Jalen, but we wouldn't be talking out of school because everyone is aware, particularly of the issues between him and Chris Webber. My sense of it is that they have finally now really started to mend those fences. But that's a good one. I mean, that's a good comp. They had an extraordinary circumstance that befell them. I guess we could call The Last Dance an extraordinary circumstance.
I suppose.
One way or another, I'll just say it again. For me, in the sports context, it's a tragedy. What those guys accomplished together, for it to look like this now, makes me sad. We'll be right back.
Thanks for listening to Greeny, the podcast. You can listen live each weekday morning at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio. Or watch the show through the Watch tab on the ESPN app. Also catch Greeny on Get Up, weekday mornings at 8 on ESPN, and also available wherever you get your podcasts.